Oh my goodness, it's here. It's finally happening. Welcome to the Bitchipedia with Jonathan Chandler. I am your host, of course, Jonathan Chandler, and this is the Bitchipedia podcast. Oh my God, I'm nervous. I'm excited. I have a whole bunch of emotions that I'm feeling, to be honest with you, but I told myself this year I'm going to just do shit that I've always wanted to do. And this is something I've always wanted to do. Like, this whole entire, pandemic has really forced me to think about like career aspirations and whatnot, and the fact that I have a year left in college, bitch. So I literally need to get the fuck together. And I was like, what, what's not better than, just doing something you've always wanted to do and, hopefully making a career out of it. And, I'm excited to introduce this podcast to you folks. This is the podcast where I'll be talking about everything pop culture, social issues, housewives, Bravo, everything, to be honest with you. College life, mental health. I have actual like mental health issues that I go through, and I can't wait to open up about that. Look at me, I'm already stuttering, shit. And just, oh my God, relationships, situationships, sex. I'm gonna be talking about it all, to be honest with you. This is very, very unfiltered. And it feels weird because you're like, I've always had these conversations with my homegirls, right? I'm always talking to them about like literally everything under the sun. But to get in front of a mic, like an actual mic, like I wish you guys could see it, bitch. I actually bought like a fucking mic. I feel like I'm like in a recording studio or something like that. But yeah, I can't sing, so I'm not even gonna sing for y'all. But I can hold a tune or two. JK. I bought an actual mic and shit. Like, this is like for real, for real. Anyways, like getting back to my main point, this is something like I've always wanted to do. And I've had conversations with my homegirls about like everything under the sun. Like, we'll talk about Housewives for hours. Even if they don't watch the shit, I can give them a recap, bitch. You would think they watched it. They'll be like, oh my God, so what happened? I'm like, okay, you already know about this person and that person. Like, yeah. And then we'll talk about it. Relationships, obviously. Situationships. I mean, who doesn't go through that? Especially as someone in my early 20s. Like, child, I'm always going through a situationship. We hate to fucking see it too. But I mean, we hate to see it, but it's kind of like, okay, like, do you really want to be in a relationship? Like, you're fucking 21. Do you really want to be tied down to someone? So, I don't know. But anyways, I love how I'm getting off point. Social issues. Some of you may know me from my work for Betches or Subvert Mag. I've talked about everything from the Black Lives Matter movement to colorism to stan culture to microaggressions. Like, I cover a lot of things that I feel like people should know about. Just like educating, because I feel like education is like the best thing you can get in this world. Like, I feel like, especially as it's, it's fucking free. Well, college ain't, but Google is. And websites like, the ones I mentioned, those are free as well. So I love to help people educate, and I love to be educated myself. So I, do that. Some of you may know me from my Instagram. Some, not all, but some of you may know me from that because I'm always talking about housewives. I'm always going off on a fucking tangent. You know the deal. yeah, I'm super excited. I really can't wait to like start this journey and like kind of like give myself notes over time. Like, okay, you need to talk about this more, or you need to control how you respond to that more. Like, I think it's going to be a beautiful learning experience for myself, so I'm super excited for that. The title itself is the Bitchipedia, so I know you're wondering like, why the fuck would you title a podcast the Bitchipedia? It's a little cringe, I know, but it's me, so let me explain. Long story short, years and years ago, I love how I'm talking about it like it's 10 years ago, really, child, like 5 years ago, okay. My Instagram name was Bitchapedia. I kind of created that because I was kind of known as a bitch. I don't even know if I was known as a bitch in high school. I think I'm just someone that's very blunt. Like, I'm not gonna hold my fucking tongue. I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna say what the fuck I wanna say, how the fuck I wanna say it, when the fuck I said it. That's a lot of F-bombs. I'm sorry. But like, I'm just that type of bitch. Like, I'm not the type of person that's gonna stand down and, just let someone talk to me crazy or say something crazy like that. That has never been me. And I feel like an encyclopedia is like a big ass book where you learn shit. And the Bitchpedia can be a place where, us bitches can learn from each other. So that's why I titled it the Bitchpedia. I don't have that, username anymore. But I mean, obviously, I fucking changed it because, like, I'm not freaking 15. But I thought, it'd be a cool place, a cool name, I should say, because we can all learn from each other. We're all bitches. We all, I think I think everyone has a little bitch in them, and I think this is the perfect space where everyone can just express their bitchiness, I guess. I don't fucking know. But you get what I'm saying, right? Do you get what I'm saying? I hope you get what I'm saying, because, child, I don't even know how else to explain it. It's a cool name, okay? Let's just say it like that. I'm also a college student, like I mentioned before. I've been attending a four-year institution for, like, only a year now because I was in community college before. I transferred, so I would love to discuss that, about transferring. I'm pretty sure you could tell by the podcast art, I'm Black. So don't try no bigotry shit, bitch. Do not talk crazy. I don't care. I, especially when it comes to Black issues, I'm not the type of person to debate over. You know what I mean? I want this to be a safe space. I want people to express who they are and whatnot. But, like, do not come to me with bigoted shit. Not only will you get cursed out, not only will I read you for fucking filth, and I will not apologize for it. Let's just put that out there. But I also just feel like it's dumb. Why try to debate that? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the other day, okay, I was going to do the intro, but child, let me just get into the story. The other day, Lisa Rinna's daughter, Amelia Gray, posted this photo, right? And she had this ponytail and baby hairs and earrings. And this little motherfucker was raised in Beverly Hills. So let's just be real. She ain't never had no baby hairs before. She ain't never had no earrings, no hoops like that. And she definitely wasn't that damn tan. So I talked about it. You know, you got to talk. Let's talk about it. So I talked about it. And people were, like, messaging me and tweeting me, like, how dare you? She's Italian. Yeah, okay. She's Italian. What did Teresa Giudice say? She is as Italian as the motherfucking Olive Garden. That girl is not no goddamn Italian. Her mama white, her daddy white. Girl. Anyways, chill. So people were coming after me, and what was so crazy is I said she was blackfishing and basically wearing blackface because her skin was, like, super, super, super fucking tan. And they were like, how? Hey, this is not blackface, and they're white. Does that make any sense to you? That is like me trying to tell somebody that's why I tried how to make a casserole. No shade, because y'all put y'all foot in them casseroles. Do you know what the fuck I'm saying? Why would you try to debate me over my experience as a Black person when you're not Black and you have no education towards that? I know I say Google is free, but I'm literally meaning you search it up and you look at several different, you know, publications, and then you can assess your response that way. You don't just search up the first fucking thing you see and then want to tweet it at me. I have Google, bitch. I can Google. You can Google. We all can Google. Chow. So that's an example of someone trying to come after me. Of course, I read them for filth because what the fuck? Like, it's in my blood. Like, I'm not going to just, like, let you get away with that. Especially calling me all types of bitches and shit. I know this is called a bitchopedia, but don't call me no bitch in no negative, with a negative connotation. That will make me just, especially if y'all got kids, y'all got bigger things to focus on. You got motherfuckers in your house that don't pay no rent, that gotta be there for damn near 18 years or more. Okay? There are bigger fish to fry in this goddamn world. Yeah. Anyways. So, that's just, can't believe I just did that. That is just, like, my rule. However, comma, I am not the smartest bitch in the world, nor do I want to be the smartest bitch in the world. It is not a job that I want. So if I say something on this podcast that offends you, truthfully offends you, don't, if I make a joke about you, you know, being white or something like that, child, please don't come in my DM saying that it offended you and it ruined your whole fucking day, because I will ruin your whole fucking day again. I'm talking about, like, if you are of a different culture or if you are of a certain religion and I say something that's dated or, you know, offensive, I do want to be educated on that. And even though I'm real hype right now on this podcast, I absolutely have no problem apologizing, and I absolutely have no problem having a one-on-one conversation with you and really just educating myself. And even though it's not your job to educate me, you can call me out on that and say it's wrong, and I will educate myself. You know what I mean? Like, I will do the learning that I have to do and come to you with an apology, because I do think that that's, you know, necessary, especially in these times of people wanting to be the most woke motherfucker in the room, or, you know, wanting to be the most educated that they can be. I definitely, definitely want to enrich myself in, you know, learning the history of others. So if I say anything that makes you feel uneasy, or if it's dated, or if you feel like it falls under any category of, you know, being bigoted, even though I try my hardest not to, because of course I'm an individual that has had experience being discriminated against and I wouldn't want to discriminate anyone else, let me know. And I will have no hesitation on learning from that. What else do I want to talk about? Okay. So as to who like influenced me to do this, I've been super influenced by a lot of like different Bravo podcasts, the Bitches Better podcast. I love that one. Bravo Why Black, mixing it with Monty, the What Else Is Going On podcast, Watch What Crappens, Danny Pellegrino. Sometimes I'll listen to Two Judgy Girls, Andy's Girls. I mean, all of the girls. I mean, I literally have been influenced by all of them. And I'm super, super grateful that most of the people that I've named have been super supportive of me just by either posting something, because on Instagram, I'll, you know, create guides and efforts to raise awareness on different issues like social justice or college students needing stimulus checks and whatnot. So to be able to create content in the same lane as them is already an honor in itself. So that's who influenced me. Oh, and Wendy Williams. Who doesn't love that bitch? I love her. There's something about her that's super like intriguing, right? Her movie that she just put out, which I'm gonna be honest with you, I feel like she lied for 20% of it. In regards to her, I just love her whole mantra of just say it like you mean it, you know? And that's kind of how I live my life. I try to say how I feel in the moment. You know, I always say, I said what the fuck I said, when the fuck I said it, how the fuck I said it. And the reason why I say that is because sometimes people think like, oh, well, you must think that what you just said, you know, in response to like a read or something like that, it's wrong. No. If I said something that is discriminatory or something like that or bigoted and I didn't know it, of course, I 100% say that I'm wrong. But if I'm just responding to you being a dumbass, no, you're just dumb. Like the fuck, like I just said when I was reading them people about Amelia Gray, like blackfishing and stuff, like I think some of them expected me to apologize. No, you came in my comments, so when you come in my comments, it's fair game, child. Besides that, what content you can expect with this podcast is quite a lot. So on my Patreon, I have a Patreon called A Bitchpedia as well. You can subscribe there if you have a, you know, extra $3 or $5 in your pocket, child, and you're trying to, you know, donate to the cause. But if not, that's okay. What you can expect here is recaps, me talking everything pop culture. I'm gonna have some guests on sometimes. We're gonna chit chat, gossip, all of it, child. And then on the Patreon, you get all of that plus bonus episodes with the $5 tier. Or if you just want to subscribe to the $3 tier, I have writing and whatnot as well that I put out on there. So stay tuned for that. In terms of like my posting schedule, I don't really have one. Like, I'm pretty sure I'll be uploading a lot because this is a big dream of mine. And like, I'm super excited. Like I told y'all, I have a mic right here and I feel like I am just in the studio about to, what did Nene say? Candy, can you find us a studio we can go drop some beats? Like, I feel like I'm in the studio or some shit. So I'm definitely excited to record. The editing process, I don't know about y'all. I had to download something called, is it called Audacity? The Audacity, in the words of Ramona Singer. I had to download something called Audacity, and this shit look intimidating as hell. As I'm talking to you, I'm just looking at it, and it just looks like, you know those things in the hospital when you take your heartbeat or something like that, and it just go boom, 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 boom. Y'all don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, because I'm not saying it correctly. You know, like, that thing that has, like, those arrows that go up and down, and if your heart rate goes up, then the little arrows go up. Child, you know what I'm talking about. That's what the fuck it looks like. And it's for the nervous. I don't really like it. I feel like I'm gonna have to edit and stuff. I'm not no editor. Actually, no, I'm gonna have to be an editor, because if I wanted to do this all by myself, I have to do it. You know what? I'll be an editor today, child. Let's move on to Housewives. I want to talk about it a little bit. Usually with my episodes, I have like dedicated episodes to it. But let's talk about Housewives. How are you guys feeling about Atlanta? I feel like Atlanta picked up the pace, which I'm excited about. But aren't y'all tired of them always having to pick up the pace after midseason? Because I am. I'm so sick of it. Let me tell you something. I can't do another Atlanta season where I gotta wait 7 episodes for shit to go down. I don't know why they don't have the girls filming together. And you can't blame COVID, because this is like the third season where they've done it. Except I think this season, maybe because of COVID, because I know Portia was protesting and whatnot, she had to get tested, and I totally agree with that. But I think this season, it's just been bad. Season 11 and 12, though, like, it took, what, Nene 6 or 7 episodes to get acclimated with the group? I know she was negotiating her contract a little bit, but goddamn, there was no group events with her. I vaguely remember season 11, it took them 2 or 3 episodes to have a group scene. Nope, 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 nope. Do, like, Potomac, New York, okay? I like Potomac, like New York, like even goddamn Beverly Hills. I gotta give them a praise, child. Beverly Hills, what's the New Jersey? Like, we need a group event from the bat. I am so tired of having to wait. I am. They're on season 13 right now. Season 14, I need a group event. I need it immediately. I need sit downs. I need one-on-ones, and I need a group event. And I don't want the group event within the last 5 minutes. I need the group event within the first 15 minutes. Because goddamn, Atlanta always got this thing where they're like, oh, we're just going to show you all the solo footage of everybody. And then the last 2 minutes, maybe we'll give you a... No, no, no. I need you motherfuckers to get it the fuck together. When I talk about you motherfuckers, I'm talking about the producers and the editors, by the way. The girls are lovely. They're doing a beautiful job. I need them to figure it the fuck out, though. I'm really sick of, like, having to wait. When it comes to Atlanta, I also need Marlo to have a peach. I need her to have a peach. I need her to have a peach like yesterday. There is no reason why she is carrying, yes, I said it, carrying this franchise on her back. She has the most interesting storyline. She is raising her 2 amazing nephews on her own who lovingly call her Munty. Okay. She has her new warehouse store that she's opening up. I think we're going to see that in later episodes. She's lived a life. I mean, she was in foster care. She really came up on her own. A lot of people like to put this label on her, like she got something from a man. And I honestly think it's only when it comes to Black women that people do that, because there are plenty of other women on these shows that do not work and their husbands fund their lifestyles and they are not attacked in the same light. But she has stories before him. Before her billionaire. And she was grinding on her own. So you know what? I think she deserves a peach. People, and I wrote about this for Betches. People have speculated over, you know, the years that the reason why she doesn't have a peach is because of her past legal issues. I think that is fucking weird. And let me tell you why. You have someone like Kelly. I don't even want to say that. I almost said her name. You have someone like the I'm biracial, but then I'm white, but then I'm biracial, but then I'm Black lady. You know who I'm talking about. In Orange County. Okay, her ratchet ass. You have her, okay, before her inaugural season, she was out there speaking. Her, the rhetoric that she used in regards to Black men was absolutely disgusting, and she still held her orange. And she's had her orange since season 11. Tinsley got her job. I don't care what y'all say. I know she was a socialite, y'all, but so was every other motherfucker in New York. Tinsley got her apple because she got that mug shot and because of Dale. Dale really helped carry Tinsley on the show. We'll talk about that another time. But, like, because of her mug shot. So I'm not understanding. Oh, and Leah. Leah. Leah literally got her money after a police officer attacked her. And you don't want me to get into that because on some real shit, and it's not a dig towards Leah, but it's like... I'm not even gonna go into it, but let's just say this. I don't know not damn one Black person that did not serve at least a whole bunch of jail time and all the other bullshit before they got their rightful money that they were due. Okay? Especially by being attacked by a police officer. I'm just saying. So she needs her peach, and she needed it like yesterday, okay? The Kenya and Portia dynamic, I'm getting real sick of it. I sure am. But I feel a different way now about... I feel like I'm going to have to do a whole episode about this. Because I feel like I switched teams. Or no, I'm more neutral. I'm more neutral in that feud. And you know what? I will say this. Being in this pandemic and having to not only watch that Beverly Hills season where they really came after Denise Richards, but also be on Twitter for it. It really made me think, like, I just have to watch these shows more objectively. I can't watch these shows being team... this and team that, unless you're a horrible person like that lady on Orange County, then I'm team everybody else. When I say everybody else, I mean like 1 or 2 other people, more like Gina, because them other bras just like her. But anyways, except for Bronwyn, but we'll talk about that later. She has her issues, but she's not, you know, a bigot. What was I saying? Like, I feel like I have to watch these shows more objectively, because when you're on someone's team, it's kind of like, it takes the fun out of it. Because then you're always getting mad if someone else says something in response. Or maybe it's just me. I'm 21. And maybe just like me not growing up and feeding into that, you know, bullshit they do on Twitter when they go back and forth with each other over teams. I just don't think it's worth it. And I think watching the show in a more objective lens and being neutral has made me not only do I have a more enjoyable viewing experience, but it's made me look at things a lot differently. And I will say, whether you like her or not, Kenya Moore definitely delivers. And I'm sorry, I'm gonna say it. That season when she left, Portia was the Kenya of that season. She just wasn't edited the same way. She was still the bone carrier. She still started shit. She still, you know, stirred shit up. But because we love her, we didn't look at her in the same lens. And yes, some of the shit she did was with a little bit of a malintent, I will say. I do think some of that stuff she started up was a little, so looking back at season 11, it was a little, why did you do that? But again, they're making a TV show. You have to look at it through a different lens. And I definitely do not want to put Kenya in this light that she's just this evil individual. I don't want to do that, and I will not feed into that anymore. And so I give her props. I give Portia props too. Portia definitely helps carry the show. Hey, you know what? I don't really mind Cynthia like that. I know what you're thinking. Is it crack? No, it's not. I promise you, I just don't mind her as much. There's something about her being more, again, objective, like her calling out Kenny when she's wrong a little bit and not really being up Nene's ass. It's kind of made me enjoy her more. Because season 8 Cynthia was cool. So I didn't like season 7 Cynthia. I don't know who the fuck that was. Child, she was ready to knuck and buck and all of it, child. But season 8, when she kind of, before Nene came, you know, back for her guest role, like, you know, when she was kind of just like with the group and she was her, I liked it. I really did enjoy that. And you know what? If that's going to be what she brings to the show, then I don't mind her, but maybe make her a friend. I don't know. It's been like 10 years. I like Drew. I like LaToya. I like what they're bringing to the show as well. I know what you're saying, LaToya. Now, let me just say this. I do not fuck with her colorist ass comments as a dark-skinned black guy. I do not fuck with it. And if they were to get rid of her because of it, I would not mind. However, I think she brings a certain energy out of all of the girls, and you need someone like that. So I say this. If you're going to get rid of LaToya, then you need to find someone with the same energy. You're not supposed to like everyone on these shows. And I think some of us forget that. Like, it's still a television show. It's still structured as a television show. It's not structured as a documentary. You know, there's storyboard producers. There is a role for each girl, each woman on that show. So I get it if you don't like some of the women, but I think, you know, I get it because that's what you're supposed to do. But I also think, like, sometimes I see tweets like, get rid of her. What the fuck are we going to watch? What the fuck are we going to watch? No, I want you to answer it. People that say that, what the fuck are we going to watch? If you get rid of Kenya, LaToya, Marlo, and even Candy. Ciao, paint dry. That's what the hell we going to watch. Paint dry. Next, not doing it. But I'm super, super excited for this rest of the season of Atlanta, and I'll definitely be recapping it on this podcast. Jersey. Okay, again, I'm looking at it through a different lens. So I've been the biggest Teresa fan for a long time. I have, and I still am. I think there is something about that woman that is just so funny to me. And the fact that she really went to prison, like, had time. Well, she didn't have no time, but child, more than a lot of these other housewives, okay? I really do, like, there is something about that. And I think she's a good mother. You know, like, those are all redeemable qualities, but I have to say it. Tree huggers, please don't attack me, child. I don't have time to go back and forth with y'all, because y'all scary as hell. There's something about y'all. Y'all just are the vigor behind y'all. Goddamn. I am kind of tired of, like, them. I am tired of, like, let's give Teresa a pass because her husband is deported and she went to jail. I am. And I'm not trying to be rude when I say that, but can we talk? Okay, we can talk. I'm tired of it. Why is it that she's given a pass for her bad behavior and other people aren't? Now, this is where Jackie fucked up. And I swear to you, Jennifer Aiden, whom I love. Again, if we get rid of Jennifer, what are we going to watch? Margaret is just as bad as Jennifer on that show. Y'all just hate to say it, okay? But she does the same shit Jennifer does, and I appreciate both of them for it. Anyways, here's what Jackie fucked up. Why you say that girl was doing coke? Why? It was an analogy. I don't even have kids. And if someone said, your daughter, and not gonna work out. Not gonna work out. I wouldn't, even if I was in the wrong, I wouldn't apologize because you brought up my kid. What does my kid have to do with this? Bring up my dude. Because remember, Jackie did bring up her guy. She brought up Juicy Joe, season 9 and season 10. Okay? Now, as far as everything else goes, she does, I am on her side when it comes to, how the hell are you going to be at my husband's birthday party telling everybody he cheating? I'm sorry. People love calling Atlanta like buzzwords that are just very deep rooted in racism, like ghetto and ratchet, but Jersey ratchet as hell. Throwing wine glasses, motherfuckers. Always, you know, calling each other C words and shit. Rat at you. And I'm here for it. I'm here for all the ratchetness, y'all. I sure am. But let's just give that same energy to white franchises too, because they be on some hood rat shit too. I'm just saying. I don't know. Like, why would you do that? Like, what would encompass you to tell a whole bunch of people this man is cheating? And this is where I feel conflicted when it comes to Margaret, because I know Margaret knew it. Especially because her husband confirmed it with those dudes. I watched clips of episode 3. That's what happened, right? The husband was like, yeah, they were talking about it. Yep. I bet you she did know it. I feel like the way it was set up, they were supposed to both talk about it. Margaret was like, hell no. Hell no. Because think about it. I feel like Margaret low-key, someone tweeted this a long time ago and I believe it. I feel like Margaret is supposed to be like the narrator of the show. She's supposed to be someone that looks at things in an objective lens and just kind of like narrate everything, you know? And I think that she doesn't want a different role. I think she's comfortable where she is. And listen, I don't blame her. I just think, like, I think she knows a lot more than she was putting on. Let's just put it like that. But besides their little feud, besides, you know, the Jackie and Teresa feud, I'm absolutely loving this season. Jennifer looks amazing. Dolores looks amazing. Melissa looks... Ooh, can we take a moment? Now, I believe in God. Whoever you believe in, child, even if it's nobody, if you would just put your hands together for some. Can we thank God that we're getting an authentic storyline from Melissa and her husband? Real shit. It's no shade. It's no shade. I don't know how I can't do with the long lost sisters at the funerals. I can't do it wanting to have another baby. It's given Tyler Perry. It's given House of Pain. It's get every single goddamn year. It is something to support. At this point, if they didn't have something this year, I was going to say bring back Kathy's ass. But her husband crazy as hell and I can't do that. He crazy as fuck. I can't do it. Let me say allegedly. I feel like they the type to try to sue somebody for calling him crazy. Allegedly. Allegedly. I said it. Allegedly. I don't know that for a fact. You know what? Somebody could be ghostwriting his tweets. Child, if you know, you know. If you don't, you better go on that Twitter and search up his name, child. Anyways, I think this season's going to be great. I'm anticipating kind of a dynamic shift. I am. And oh, Jennifer's storyline is so interesting. They struck gold when they casted Jackie and Jennifer. Let me tell you why. And I never thought I would say that about Jackie. Those two women, like Jackie's storyline, personal storyline, isn't necessarily super interesting to me, but her dynamic within the group is everything, right? Jennifer has both, where her dynamic within the group is everything, but her personal storyline is also interesting. But I feel like this year is kind of a switcheroo, where, because before it was like, you know, Jennifer was like really involved with the group and starting drama, and Jackie would, but like, I don't know. I feel like last year was more personal for her, obviously, because she, you know, was talking about her issues with body image and whatnot, which I thought was really commendable. I love the fact that she shared that with us and how her father reacted to it. So I feel like it's switcheroo. I mean, Jennifer had personal storyline too, but I'm trying to even it out, child. I'm just here for them. Give it up. Give it up. They really did that. And to be added season 9 and contribute and really shift the focus of the show, child, they deserve a raise. A raise, I tell you, a raise. Okay, what else is going on? New York. I'm super excited for New York. I absolutely am gutted a little bit that Dorinda won't be there, but I do think she needed kind of a break. I wish they would have just gave her a friend role or something, or a guest role. You know, like how Nene had, where she like, quote unquote, left after season 7? Well, she said she did. I'll just believe her. And then she came back halfway and was kind of like the guest star. I would like that. Like, started off without her, and then after like the first or second trip, bring her in, right? But I feel like it would be a pride thing. Like, ask yourself, if you were like a long time running cast member on a show, long running cast member on a show, would you want to come back without an apple? I feel like New York especially is the type of show, after the cameras go down, Ramona's like, oh, Dorinda, I heard you don't have an apple. How was that going for you? And you know Dorinda is the type to cuss a bitch out. You know Dorinda would be like, let me tell you something. Let me tell you. You know how she is. Shit, want to talk about Amelia Gray Italian. That's an Italian right there, Cho. So, yeah. I'm definitely excited for it. I'm excited for Ebony and Brashan. It's about time they've added women of color on the show. Like, honestly, I think the only one we've had is Jules. And she deserved a second season, in my opinion. Especially because after all that shit happened with her and Michael, chow. Some divorce drama we can see. Because, you know, Bethany was like, no cameras. Which, you know, I get. Kind of dumb. But, you know, it is what it is. It's Bethany Franco. I'm not going to argue that. And I'm super excited to see their dynamic within the group. The only thing that I'm a little apprehensive about, and you tell me if this is me being rude or not. We have, first of all, Luann, Ramona, and Sonia have survived three shakeups. Let's just, not three shakeups, two shakeups. Applaud for that, number one. Number two, let's normalize calling Lou an OG, because she is. Okay. And number three, I feel like there's going to be a disconnect. Not because we're bringing a woman of color in the group. Not at all because of that. I think it's more of a, I don't want to say an age thing, because I do think it'll work. I just feel like I don't know what they would have. Like, Ebony and Leah are more acclimated with modern New York, right? They're the type of girls, you know, I don't live in New York, but they're definitely the type of girls that, you know everybody. They're, you know, group that they hang out with are rather diverse. They're very astute in terms of, you know, social issues, and Ebony's very astute when it comes to, and caught up when it comes to political issues. And New York's never been that type of show. You know what I mean? So I don't know if there's going to be, I feel like it's going to be one of those things, like, what are they going to talk about? Like, I can't imagine this season is going to be like last season where, you know, everyone was getting, you know, plastered all the time, which, you know, was enjoyable to an extent. But I can't see them, I can't see Sonia, you know, just going on a rampage and Ebony sitting there just letting that shit happen. I mean, I've watched Ebony on Revolt News. She doesn't play no shit. And I'm here for it. But then again, I don't want her being someone's enforcer because that's not her job. And I don't want to pin that on a black woman. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, like, you should... No, not her job. Sonya's a grown-ass woman. I wonder, because I have, like, peeped how Ebony has referred to her relationships within the cast. I do think there's probably going to be, like, a Sonia versus Ebony type of thing. I don't think it's going to be Ramona versus Ebony. Ramona's a lot more aware than a lot of you folks might think. And I don't think she wants to come across as insensitive, especially after her BLM and COVID comments. If you know, you know. If you don't know, search it up. Ciao. She didn't say anything. Well, no, she said all lives matter. It was fucking weird. And we don't fuck with that. But I'm wondering if Lady Morgan is going to come back. Do you remember those early seasons of Roni where, like, Sonia was kind of, like, pompous and rather rude all the time? And she still is. She just has that second side of her that we see more than the first side of her. I wonder if that's coming back. And if it is, I'm low-key here for it, because I feel like Sonia doesn't live up to the potential that she could have. You're a Morgan! Carry yourself like one. I'm not talking about, like, in terms of, like, you can't get drunk and stuff, like, but, like, if you gotta be a bitch, be a bitch. Like, listen, don't be, like, a passive bitch. Don't do what you did last year with Leah, because that's passive. And with Tinsley, don't do that. That's passive. Be, like, straight up, like, okay, and I'm a Morgan. Whew. She'll get dragged online, which she probably is afraid for, but I, for one, even though I would be Team Ebony, I would be here for that. And Brashan is a friend of Ramona's, so I'm excited to see what Brashan brings to the show. And I think she is a very, both Ebony and Brashan are very successful women, dynamic women. And I think they're going to bring a lot to the show. I do think it's going to be a different show this year. I don't think it's necessarily going to be like politics, politics, politics all the time. But I definitely think there is going to be more conversations with substance. And I'm excited to see that. And I hope they address diversity. I feel like what Beverly Hills, which we're going to talk about right now, when Garcelle came out, I don't feel like they addressed, like, I saw a deleted scene with her and Denise, and she was like, I wish they would have asked me, like, how was it being, you know, a black woman in, you know, Hollywood, raising biracial children? Like, I wish conversations like that were happening, because that way people don't feel like they have to, like, tiptoe. Because I got that. I definitely got this tiptoeing around her, and I don't want that happening on Roni. And Roni's a very, those women are very, very, what is the word? There's another word for real. They're very, very blunt. So I'm hoping, you know, they ask it, and, you know, it's a conversation with substance, and then, you know, it won't feel awkward. Because I definitely got that, and I think Garcelle did too. And I'm hoping with this new season of Beverly Hills, which Garcelle was just recently on Watch What Happens Live, and she teased a little bit, I hope it's good. Now, let me tell you something. This is about to be an unpopular goddamn opinion. Speaking of unpopular opinions, on my Patreon pre-show, which is going to come out in a few weeks, we talk about unpopular opinions, and we do a small dive into it. Not a deep dive, but a small dive. Anywhere from 5 minutes to 30 minutes to an hour, we just kind of talk about our unpopular opinions. Speaking of unpopular opinions, Beverly Hills season 10 was great. Mm-hmm, I said it. Drops the mic. Well, not actually, Chuck. It is an expensive-ass mic, but you get what I'm saying. That season was good. I don't care what y'all say. And let me tell you why. I'm not saying what was done was good. I was Team Denise, and we all know her ass was lying. Okay? I was Team Denise 100%. Because the way some of those women went about it was very weird. And nosy. And yes, you have to put your real life out there. But you don't have to... I bet there are things they know about each other that they do not like... You know what I mean? Like, they don't talk about it on camera. Like, them goddamn lawsuits, season 9. Happy Camille's ass was there. Shit. Well, happy sometimes that she was there. Some of her social and political opinions are rather trash. But it was great. I thought it was a perfect summer show. I thought it was scandalous. I thought it was something that you just had to watch all the goddamn time. Especially the first few episodes. And that ending to the first episode where Kyle was, like, narrating it. Ooh, you can't get any better than that. This season, I think they're going to do kind of a slower approach, but I think we're still going to get a good season. Garcelle and Sutton are two of the best additions that we've had in a while, because they're both different where they're different. And they're the same where they're the same. I know you're like, what the hell does that mean? Let me explain it. Garcelle is someone who, okay, let me tell you where they're the same. Both blunt, both said what they said, but where they're different is their approaches. I feel like Garcelle's the type of person to just straight up ask you a question. I feel like Sutton is the type of person to ask you a question, but she's judging you. You know what I'm saying? And I kind of love that. Remember when, like, people were not fucking with her after the first episode? And then after that, they were like, oh, no, wait, we love Sutton. Like, come on, you have to love her. She's amazing. And I think that after what Garcelle said on Watch What Happens Live, which was that Sutton cries the most this season, she's the most intrigued by Erica's divorce and probably asks the most questions, and she's the most self-absorbed. I feel like this is the season of Sutton. But here is where Bravo is fucking up. I feel like I'm praying I'm wrong. I feel like Sutton doesn't have a diamond. I feel like she doesn't have a diamond, and that pisses me off. You know why? Because I feel like friends to the show, yes, they're supposed to help carry the show, but they're not supposed to carry the show. What Sutton did last year, because we didn't see her personal scenes, remember, she was supposed to be a housewife, but then she got demoted. What Sutton did last year, that is what a friend is supposed to do. You get involved with the drama sometimes, but you're really kind of like not a placeholder, but you know, you say funny things, and then you're just there to kind of contribute to the group dynamic. You know, you're there to contribute to the conversation. That's what a friend is supposed to be. You know, kind of like Tanya season 11, how she was, like, really bubbly and super energetic, and she kind of got into it with Nini. But besides that, she was kind of there to kind of, like, balance out the cast. That is what Sutton did. But I don't... If she is going to give us a show, I do not want her not having a diamond. She needs a diamond. I heard Garcelle said that Crystal is the one holding the most grudges. This is how I feel. I'm excited for Crystal because Crystal is, like, money. Like, no, that child, she got a coin. A coin, okay? Her husband's like an Oscar-winning director. Like, she has a coin. She's like Beverly Hills, okay? Child, she probably owns, you know, an actual Italian restaurant, not Buca di Beppo. No shade to Buca di Beppo. I'm still gonna go to the Capri Room, but, like, let's be real. Like, she has the coin. But, like, if that's all to her, then I don't know if I'm necessarily interested. So I'm gonna take what Garcelle said with a grain of salt, and I'm hoping she's referring to just how Crystal deals with issues, and not necessarily she's not someone that just, like, drags something along. Like, I hope she's referring to, like, Crystal will get into it with you, and then she'll, like, cuss you out every time she sees you or shades you down. Like, I'd rather watch that. And I'm excited for Kathy Hilton show. Super excited to see that. Super excited. And we need a Kim, Kathy, and Kyle scene. We need it quickly. Okay. Moving on from Beverly Hills. Dallas, they are so lucky. They are so lucky Queen Tiffany Moon is on that goddamn show. Because when I tell you, I was not going to watch it. I can't. I just can't. It's good this season, though, from what I've heard. I think I watched the premiere episode and that's it, but I've seen the clips. I do watch the clips. And it seems okay. I'm not gonna like trash it. It seems okay. I think Tiffany is carrying. Oh, let me tell you what I don't like. Brandy said that she feels like she can't be herself around Tiffany. What does that mean, child? Does that mean you can't make racist marks around her? Racist remarks around her? What the fuck does that mean? She quit the show supposedly. Glad. You know, she, you know, this is not even being shady. She has gone through a lot in her personal life, you know, and I think that, and I'm not talking about the racist remarks. I'm actually talking about like actual things that are a lot. You can look at her Instagram and see. So I don't think Cameron's need to be around her. And in regards to just her being on the show, separating that stuff to just her on the show, I'm over it. I'm cool. I'm good off of it. Carrie's annoying, but again, she's doing, you know, that's kind of like the job she's supposed to do. I just don't like the remarks they're making towards Tiffany. I feel like they're racially charged. And I do. I truly do. And I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm really hoping I'm wrong, but I feel like they're racially charged and I'm not fucking with it. Real Housewives of Miami is supposed to be coming back. I'm excited for that. I watched the first season. I didn't watch the other seasons, but I did see clips again. I'm a clip watcher. Sometimes I'll just watch clips of shit. And I've seen it over the years, and it looked like an interesting show. I want Larsa Pippen on. Yep. She has the most interesting thing going on for her right now. I want Larsa Pippen on. Larsa Pippen needs to be back on the goddamn show. Okay? Quickly. Quickly. Thanks. What else is there? Potomac. Potomac was so good last season, wasn't it? Potomac is really like the best one out right now. And I think what makes Potomac great, and I've said this before, like on Twitter, I think what makes Potomac so good is they all have good qualities about them, and they all have qualities that we can't stand about them. And that's what makes it good. There's no one on there that I feel like is better morally. Let me not put that. There are people that are better morally on that show than each other, but you know what I mean, right? Like, they all have redeemable qualities about them. There's not someone on there that's kind of like, ugh, in my opinion, at least, especially the current cast. Catch that. The current cast that is currently filming. Loving them. But I think that's about it for it. I think I talked about Atlanta, I talked about Roni, Jersey. We already went over Dallas, Beverly Hills, OC. Oh, yeah. Do what the fuck you want to do. Bring back Tamara and Heather. Whatever you want to do after that, I don't give a fuck because y'all have failed us with casting for so long. I have no hopes. I have no hopes. I really don't. I just don't. If y'all are going to let that lady keep her job, and what's so crazy, and I think a lot of you can relate to me, is like, I liked Kelly. I was here for Kelly. Like, not here. She don't know me. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I was here for it. And then she just fucks up. This is what happens when you think you're the fan, when you know that you're the fan favorite and you let that shit get to your head. And I feel like that's happened to a lot of housewives lately, but none of them have gone out as bad as Kelly. I'm ashamed to even have stand her, because every statement that she has made that has made headlines has been some bullshit. I can't. I can't. I can't. I don't know. There's something about her thinking she's married to a Fox News reporter, and now all of a sudden she is just like this person that, like, her word is her word and it's the only word you should listen to. But yeah. I'm over it. I'm over her. I'm over hearing about her and the Leventhal man and all the other bullshit. And what's so crazy, and I hate to say it, but we got to speak of fa a fact is a fact. Is she not even the most boring one on that goddamn show? I'll say it again. She's not even the most boring one on that goddamn show. If she had never spoke out like a crazy woman, I swear to you, like the COVID things, the BLM things, the BLM hats, her just speaking crazy, I swear to you, she would probably again be the fan favorite because she did bring a lot this season. She wasn't like in the drama, and I did kind of watch. She wasn't in the drama, but she stirred the pot the correct way. But she's an asshole, and she's always saying bigoted shit. Like, I don't know. I feel like if she were to come back, I wrote about it for Betches. I shameless plug. I feel like if she comes back, she needs to donate her whole entire check. Cause she's rich, remember? She's rich. She's coined up. She's coined up. So this should be no problem to her. She needs to donate her entire check, or at least a majority of it, to all of the marginalized communities that she has offended, which is every single last one of them at this point. At that point, if she were to do that, I still wouldn't fuck with her, but I wouldn't really trip too hard. But if people are tripping about her being on the show, I'm with them. I'm just putting that out there. My word isn't everybody's word, and that's a word. Okay. What else? Oh, Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City, it burned out towards the end. I think it got overhyped a little bit. I think it was a great first season, and I think that the ladies really brought it, but I feel like it kind of burned out. And I don't know if I'm necessarily intrigued to see it again. Like, I'll watch it, but I'm not hyped for it. So I think, I don't know, y'all. I don't know. That's a show where I feel like everybody got qualities about him I don't really like, and there's very few qualities that I do like, and I'm talking about everybody on the show. But yeah, I'm definitely excited to recap these episodes with you folks. Also, I'm saying folks, right? It's inclusive to everybody, to non-binary folks and to people that identify as male, female, or you know what I mean? Like, it's just inclusive to everyone. So I try to say that. So if you catch me saying you guys and I change it to you folks, I'm trying to just, you know, use a catch-all term. I know that we grew up using you guys, but I just want to, you know, progress. I feel like that's the beauty in this new era of wanting to educate ourselves and whatnot, just progressing and making everyone feel included, because it sucks to feel excluded, you know? Again, I am so, so excited to start this journey with you all. I'm going to fuck up sometimes. I'm going to say shit that I probably shouldn't have said, or the audio might fuck up. This is a one-man team, so if you got to call me out, please do so, and I'll definitely correct myself. But it's been a pleasure talking with you all, and I hope you folks have a wonderful rest of your week or weekend, child, whenever the fuck this goes up. I gotta learn how to edit. So once I learn how to be on my, what was his name for my iCarly, child? Freddy. Once I learn to be on my Freddy shit, child, it ain't no looking back. I could tell you when shit's going up. But until then, I will talk to you later. Also, subscribe to my Patreon at the Bitchipedia. I can leave a link here on Apple. If not, you can go to my Instagram at JonathanChandler_, and you can check that out. My Patreon will be in like a link tree over there. And you can subscribe if you're interested in like my writing and bonus episodes and whatnot. If not, thank you for even listening. This also helps me. And I know we're in tough times, so, you know, if you don't feel obligated to give your coin, if you can't, yeah, your coins are your coins, cha. It's been a pleasure talking to you all, and I can't wait for the next episode. Have a great one, you all.